In the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare that you have no part, no portion in the ministry of the Word of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Say a big amen. All right, glory to God. It's our month of fruitfulness, and we've been looking at the Word of God along the lines of fruitfulness. All right, so we're going to continue today. We understand that fruitfulness is one of the outshoots or manifestations of the blessing. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Glory to God. So the blessing is meant to bring about the fruitfulness and the multiplication and the replenishing and the subduing and the dominion. Praise God. So the blessing is the fuel. The blessing is the energy. The blessing is the engine that brings about fruitfulness. So when we talk about fruitfulness, there is no such thing as discussing the subject of fruitfulness without talking about the blessing. In fact, the root cause of fruitfulness is the blessing. The effect of the blessing working in our lives is fruitfulness. Glory to God. So we're going to look at this blessing again. It's called the commanded blessing. The commanded blessing. The Bible tells us, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. We understand that God is the King of Kings. So when He speaks, He does not suggest, He commands. Hallelujah. God is the commander of the blessing. So when He was speaking here in verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1 that we just read, He was not suggesting to Adam. He was not suggesting to mankind. He was commanding the blessing upon them. So this is the commanded blessing. And we saw how that Adam forfeited the privilege to carry that commanded blessing by transgression. And so the Bible tells us God began to look for a man. He found Abraham. And when He found Abraham, He made promises to him of the same commanded blessing in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, and the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Glory to God. And verse 3 says, and I will bless them that bless you, I will curse him that curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. Verse 4. Alright, so we understand that this commanded blessing is the blessing that comes to us and starts working in our lives through faith. Alright, we receive this commanded blessing by faith. By faith. Glory to God. Faith simply means absolute reliance on God, responding to God's word in obedience. That's what faith is. You are responding to the word of God in obedience. There's no such thing as I have faith in God's word and you're just saying I believe, and there is no corresponding action in the direction of that word. That is not faith. The Bible faith is the faith that goes with action. In other words, there's an action that goes with that faith, and you act on the word because you truly believe in the word of God. Amen. Now let's look at that very quickly, because this is how to receive. See, it's not enough to know that the commanded blessing is upon you in Christ. You also have to understand how to walk in it. All right, and that's very important. That's what we're looking at today. Praise God. Walking in the commanded blessing. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, quickly. We'll start reading from verse 1, and I want to show you something here. All right, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says in verse 2, by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. A good report about what? A good report concerning the word of God spoken to them. That means they entered into the fulfillment of the promises that God made to them. Glory to God. Through faith. Through faith. And verse 3 tells us, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. So what does that tell us? It tells us that faith will appreciate the word of God deep within the heart, and then will begin to act it out as though it is true, because it is true. Glory to God. The word of God is true. It's acting out God's word like it is true, because it is true. That's what faith is. So it starts with conviction in the heart, but that conviction is not void of action. That's the point. Amen. Verse 4. Look at verse 4 quickly. I want to show you something here. It says, by faith Abel offered. To offer something is an action, isn't it? Okay. So if it is by faith and that you are approaching God, and it is by faith that you have received the commanded blessing, there's always a corresponding action that goes alongside your faith, without which your faith is null and void. Glory to God. By faith, Abel offered. All right, let's go to verse 5 for time quickly. And the Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But what happened before that translation? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So he walked by faith. He walked with God. All right? He walked with God. So by faith, but go back to verse 5, Hebrews 11 and verse 5. It tells us, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated how? He walked with God. All right, onto that translation, that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then verse 6 now tells us, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. That's the first thing. You believe with the heart. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse 9. All right? It is with the heart we believe. And verse 10, with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth you make confession unto salvation. So we believe with the heart. So we go back to Hebrews now, 11 and verse 6. All right? It says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe with the heart that he is, or he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you see, faith here involves conviction in the heart, all right, and diligent seeking of the Lord. He says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So whatever involves diligence involves some degree of action. True? All right. So there is no such thing as faith without a corresponding action. There must be an action going side by side with your faith. In fact, that action is born out of that conviction. So Adam forfeited the privilege to carry the blessing, the commanded blessing, and extend it to humanity because he transgressed. He didn't believe in the commandment of God. He transgressed the commandment of God, and so God says, you can't carry it. All right? I want somebody who will obey me in faith. And he found Abraham. Praise God. Okay, we don't want to trace that now. Well, let's just go straight to Abraham for time. Amen? Because we still have a lot of things to talk about. So Abraham departed. The obedience of faith. All right? There's nothing wrong with obedience so far it's not mechanical. The only thing that is wrong with obedience is religion. Religious obedience is void of power. That means you're just doing it mechanically. You're not even convinced in your heart that it is true and you ought to do it that way. You're just doing what people call follow. Praise God. But you see, obedience here must be born out of conviction. You have received the word of God and you know what that word is deep within your heart. You've interacted with the word of God deep within you, and there's an action that is emanating, stemming out of that conviction in your heart as to the truth and the verity of God's word, and then you act in line. That is the obedience of faith. Glory to God. For example, someone has not heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ as to salvation, all right, getting born again, getting saved. And he just heard that if you just confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life and you just try to believe in your heart that, you know, God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And he tries to do that, he's not saved. It's not everybody that comes to the altar because there's an altar call. There was an altar call made, and the person comes, you know, before the priest or the preacher, before the altar, the person is saved. No. It is the person who has heard that the word of God and conviction has come to that person in his heart. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the conviction must be there in your heart, and understanding that you are the seed of Abraham. All right? That is settled within you. It is concrete conviction. All right? Reinforced, solid, abiding in your heart. So whatever you're doing in faith as a result of the revelation of God's word in your heart, you are doing it because you believe. All right? We don't do things in Christ to believe God. We do things because we believe God. There's a world of difference between the two. All right? You don't do things that they said we should give now. So you are just giving, and some people are complaining. They said we should dance. They said there's something mysterious about dancing. They said so. They said when we dance before God, great things happen. They said when we start rejoicing and start shouting, the power of God is let loose. They said so. Are you convinced it is so? If you're not convinced and you're doing it, it's not going to work for you. All right? Praise God. Okay? For example, when Peter saw Jesus walking on water, supposing for a ghost, all right, and he says, if you are the one, bid me come. Jesus said, come. He said, come. Who was he speaking to? Peter. What if, you know, maybe Andrew or James had heard the same thing, come, and he just jumped? They would have been drowned. All right? Conviction is personal. It's a personal thing. You may be in a church and there's a general word being preached, but conviction is personal. All right? Hearing is personal. Amen? There are times, you know, the preacher is preaching something and it's not, you know, it's not, something that is specific to somebody, but he's just talking generally from the scriptures. But somebody is receiving a specific revelation for his own life. And then when we come together after service and we are sharing the things that blessed us, you'll be amazed. Some people are sharing things that the preacher didn't say directly, because there's the hearing of faith by the Holy Ghost. So he's the one who coordinates hearing. He knows what you need and he knows how you must hear, all right, to have that need met. So it's personal. So there's a general preaching in church, but there's a personal hearing of faith. Glory to God. And that's why, you know, conviction is very important. You know, why do we pray to hear God's word? Someone says, well, is it not that the word will be preached and then I will hear it? The audibility of God's word is not equal to the hearing of the word. All right? The hearing of faith is the audibility of the word of God. That means the word is preached and the sound is heard. You hear the sound. All right? And then there is a conviction in your heart that that is your word. You understand that that word, what he just said now, is the solution to that problem. God just spoke to you and you stand up from that meeting, then you know what to do. You go back home, you go back to your office, you know what to change, you know what to put in place. Amen? You know who to call. Praise God. You know who to get on board, employ, you know who to sack. Praise God. Why? Because wisdom has come to you. Whereas somebody else, you know, who has a physical need in his body, healing, all right, is receiving hearing towards that. Because you see, our needs are diverse. There are many needs in the church as there are people. Amen? Sometimes people are sharing testimonies. You don't know what they have been through, what they have gone through, all right, to come to that place. And that's why when we come to church, as much as we have to unite and work together as one man, we must also understand that our challenges are personal, and so our hearing must be personal. All right, so you open your ear and say, Lord, that thing is, for example, you know, in a church, we have babes, we have young men, we have elders, fathers. Praise God. And there's one preaching going on in a big church. It's one preaching. It's not that we say, okay, babes, come here. All right, this is your kind of preaching. All right, and then young men, this is the preaching we're going to give you. All right, there's nothing custom made, all right, you know, from the pulpit now for people. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the director of the church. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. He knows what you need. And so what he does is that he will bring that preaching from principle to application. It's called counsel, the spirit of counsel. All right? By the operation of the spirit of counsel, I'm teaching faith generally. All right? And God is talking to you about holiness because that's the level you are at in terms of spiritual development. The need in your life at that time is to be holy. So, I mean, I'm talking faith, you're hearing holiness. I'm talking faith, she's hearing healing. All right? I'm talking faith, he's hearing submission. So we go home hearing different things from just one sermon. Praise God. So that's why, you know, you pray personally, Lord, the word that I need at this moment that will move me forward. You have, God has a prophetic calendar for your life, unique to you. Unique to you. It's not a general thing. So you don't come and play church, all right? You come, open your heart, open your ears and say, Lord, you are talking to me now. My heart is open. My heart is open. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. So the hearing of faith here comes to bring us to the place where we understand what God is saying to us as to the blessing and then how to participate in it, how to get into walking in the light of that blessing. So what we're saying here is that faith is the basic requirement. It is the basic requirement or means of exercising ourselves in the blessing, walking in the light of the blessing, without which we cannot please God, without which the blessing cannot be activated in our lives. God has already conferred that blessing on us. If you're born again, we've established that, you know, in previous teachings. If you're born again, you are the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3 and verse 29. And God made the promise of the blessing to Abraham and his seed, not to Abraham only, to Abraham and his seed. All right? And the Bible says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you're in Christ, the blessing of Abraham is yours. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. That is the primary school knowledge of the blessing. That's not all there is to know about the blessing. So you thank God for the blessing that is upon your life, and then you begin to seek more light to know how to walk in that blessing. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. So if you're in Christ, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places because you're in Christ. Say amen to that. All right, can you attest to it one more time? Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
All right, say it like you mean it. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
All right, now, how do you walk in the blessing? How do you walk in the blessing? So walking in the blessing of Abraham. Number one, we've been able to establish that walking in the blessing requires faith in God. Faith in God. Glory to God. Absolute trust in God. Now, the blessing works this way. The moment you cease from your struggle and you're not trying to make something happen in your own strength, even though you are diligent and you are doing what is expected of you, all right, but you are not doing it in the strength of the flesh. You are doing it in absolute trust and reliance on God. The blessing begins to work for you. But the moment you switch from just, you know, relying on God absolutely, and then you're trying to make something happen for yourself in the energy of the flesh, all right, the blessing ceases to work for you. The blessing is there, but it's suspended. The blessing works in faith. Because no flesh shall glory in his presence. No flesh. Say amen to that.
Amen.
No flesh shall glory in God's presence. So how does the blessing work? The blessing works by faith. God just conferred the blessing on Abraham, made wonderful promises to him in Genesis 12. And then he says, get out of your country. All right. He didn't say go to the place that you know. Go to so-so place. All right. He said, get out of your country, your people, to a place that I will show you. What does that mean? All through the journey, amen, he will need to trust in God. Because if I'm taking you to a place that you do not know, all right, and I'm the only one who knows the place, then you have to follow me. You have to trust in me. If I say, sit down, sit down. I say, well, where's the place? I say, sit down. We're not going anywhere now. Sit down there. You have to sit down. So everything I want to teach you on that journey, I can teach you. I can teach you patience. All right? I can say, tonight we are praying. And you want to get to the place. You will have to wake up. You are not used to vigils, but you will have to wake up and pray. All right? So on that journey of faith, there's an imputing, all right, of everything that is required on your life. God will bring that impute into your life. Praise God. He will build you and get you ready for the place that He's prepared for you. Amen? Amen. But you see, you will not be prepared for that place that God has already prepared for you if you don't trust Him. Because you want to do it your own way. You want to use your own strategy. You want to bring common sense to it. You want to bring some things you've learned. All right, God says, no. I will tell you what to learn. Now, this is the time to learn patience. This is the time to learn obedience. This is the time to learn, you know. And He will bring all those vital, you know, inputs and factors into play. Such that when you get to where God is taking you, all right, you would have been made. You would have been built up. Say amen to that. Amen. Glory to God. All right. And what God does when God makes promises to us, much more than fulfilling the promises that is made to us, He actually endears us to Himself. That's His goal. All right. Faith is not, you know, just getting things from God. There are things involved, because faith is, you know, it's about things. All right. It's about things primarily. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, but you see, the goal of faith is not things. The goal of faith is intimacy with God. But while we are hopeful, all right, we are salivating for that end in view, glory to God, and we begin to walk with God, God is working something in us. That, you know, intimacy, grace to tarry, to wait, to obey God, to love God, to walk with God. Amen? Now, God started with Abraham in Genesis 12. All right? By the time God got to Genesis 24, Abraham had become God's friend. Amen? All right? He had learned to hear the voice of God. He had learned to see visions. He had learned to obey God. Amen? He had learned to have a place of an altar, a place of devotion. He had learned all those things. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1, so Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in how many things? All things. So you see, it's about things here. Things. All things. But the goal here, all right, is intimacy with God. Did you see it? So let's look at this now very quickly. All right, in Genesis chapter 17, I want you to follow now, please. Genesis chapter 17, we start the reading from verse 1. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. All right, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. All right, verse 3. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 5, it says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 9, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after the India generations. Now, what is that covenant? Look at it. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Did you see that? So, circumcision. God says, you know what? I want the mark of the covenant to be on your flesh. You know, circumcising an 8-day-old baby is painful, very painful. Now, think about circumcising a man who is already 99 years old. God says, all right, you peel off the foreskin. Now, he wasn't circumcised before this time. God says, you will peel the thing off. And you know what that means? You know, in those days, someone could just wake up and invade the whole territory and take it over. And then he becomes the lord of that territory. He can establish a kingdom there and he becomes the king. All right? That was permitted. So nobody actually had his own territory per se, except you decide to protect that territory. If you don't protect it, someone else may come and invade it and just take it away. And women were not, you know, given to battle then. Women didn't fight battle. Men did. So to circumcise all the men in your house and remove the foreskin may take like 2 or 3 days or a week for that to heal up. Amen. So that means if the enemy invades that territory, all right, they'll kill all the men and take all the women captive. So it was a great risk. It will take you trusting Jehovah that, look, you will be able to defend me. I know you will defend me. So apart from the pain, all right, they came to a place of defenselessness. They became defenseless. Amen. In other words, we're surrendering right now. We lean on God. God will now be our defense. So you see, this token of circumcision, all right, actually shows something. Number one, there is no way, look up please, this is very important. There's no way, all right, before they discovered, you know, this insemination, you know, putting the sperm of a man into the woman, or fertilizing it outside and then implanting, you know, the fetus or zygote inside the womb of the woman. All right, before they discovered all that, it was a natural thing. Now, let's talk from scriptures now, Bible days. Amen? So that means entering into the wife, praise God, it will have to be denied for a week or thereabout, maybe 2 or 3 days or a week. So no self, no pleasure. No self-pleasure. Amen? And then number two is the fact that anytime they want to reproduce, all right, they must reproduce by the token of the covenant. The man will enter into the woman, all right, and is entering into the woman as a circumcised man. If you are the seed of Abraham, or you bought a slave in his house, or you born a slave in his house, a male, you must be circumcised. So that means they were surrendering everything to God, in that entering into the woman must be that, look, this is a circumcised man entering into the woman. Amen? All their children will be born with that token of circumcision. What does that mean? That means it was a circumcised man that entered into the woman and the child was born. So what God was saying in essence, I want an imprint of me on your flesh, on your life, on everything that you do. And you understand that, you know, when it comes to sexual intercourse, it's a very personal thing, right? God says, I want to be involved in that also. Praise God. So both your private life and public life. Did you get that? It was a big thing. You know, so the token of circumcision was the covenant that Abraham and his seed, every male child, needed to keep. For God to keep his own side of the covenant. I will bless you. I will multiply you exceedingly. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Amen. But this is the covenant you're going to keep. Circumcision. Praise God. Now, what does that mean in our case? What does it mean? The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2, if we start reading from verse 10, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, all right, it says, "And you are complete in him," in Christ, "which is the head of all principality and power." Verse 11, "In whom also ye are circumcised." In Christ, we are circumcised. All right, "with the circumcision made without hands," not physical circumcision, "but in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Did you see that? So there's such a thing as the circumcision of Christ. That circumcision is the token of the Abrahamic covenant, and that circumcision is required for every child of God to enter into the covenant of Abraham. And what is it? It's to be born again. All right? And when you're born again, you're circumcised. Now, what is the implication of that? What's the implication of that? Philippians 3 and verse 3. Philippians 3 and verse 3. "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice" where? "In Christ Jesus and have no..." Okay, that's the implication. "As the seed of Abraham, who has been circumcised in Christ by the circumcision of Christ made without hands." This is what it means. "That from henceforth I live a life of faith. I have no confidence in the flesh." The moment you begin to have confidence in the flesh, you are refuting your circumcision in Christ. Because that's what circumcision means. Absolute trust in God. That's what it means. Absolute dependence on God. That's what it means. "We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus." We have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. So the walk of the believer, the life of the believer, is oppression, no confidence in the flesh. Amen. That means there are certain things you will know to do in your natural training before you got born again in your mind. And you are not going to do that thing because you trust in God. Sometimes it's how to cut this and cut that. And if you want to go that way, listen very carefully, God will let you have it. But what you're doing, in essence, the blessing will be suspended. Amen. And if you look at the two allegories we have relating to Abraham and the Abrahamic covenant, Ishmael and Isaac. All right, Ishmael was born of the flesh. In other words, Abraham could do it. He had strength for it. Is that okay? He had strength for it. So he did it. So Ishmael is a product of what Abraham could do in his own natural strength. Isaac came when Abraham couldn't do it anymore. So it was God's quickening power that hit his body, and then Abraham was enabled, quickened by God to produce Isaac. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, that means that Isaac is a type of production, is a type of life. Ishmael is another type of life. There are two, you know, allegories. They call them allegories in theology. Amen? That means they show two different covenants. They show two different lives. Life by grace, life by effort. Life by faith, life by natural energy. See? So Ishmael simply means, "And he shall cry unto the Lord." Struggle. He's crying. He's always crying. Isaac means laughter. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Except the person who is laughing is mad. You see, laughter is a sign of relaxation. True? It's a sign of joy. True? It's a sign of satisfaction. True? Is a sign of, you know, melody in your heart, melody in your soul. Praise God. Amen. That's what Isaac stands for. Praise God. And so for us to walk in the blessing, all right, we must live in the implication, in the effect of our circumcision. which is faith. It's simple. The same way all the male children, all right, carried that mark on their skin, on their body. In fact, this was the way they distinguished between the seed of Abraham after the flesh and those who were not the seed of Abraham after the flesh in those days. All right? They called the seed of Abraham the circumcised. Those that were not the seed of Abraham after the flesh, they called them the uncircumcised. In fact, they called them Gentiles, uncircumcised. You remember how David addressed Goliath? Who is this uncircumcised? In other words, you are not part of the covenant. You can't arouse us. I'm going to cut off your head. Amen. So circumcision to them was a thing of pride. Praise God. So what does that mean? It simply means that we must begin to pride ourselves in trust, absolute trust in God. That how do I know that you are indeed the seed of Abraham? All right? Not after the flesh now, in the spirit. Praise God. As a Christian now. I'll look at your life. Every step you take, it shows trust, absolute trust in God. Absolute trust in God. Absolute trust in God. That is the effect of the circumcision. Now, every child of God in Christ has received the circumcision of Christ. It's called the circumcision made without hands, in peeling off the old life. So that means the old man is gone, the old life is gone, the nature of sin is gone. All right, now you're a brand new man in Christ. If any man be in Christ, the new creature, old things are passed away. Behold, how many things have become new? All things. So now, living in the effect of that, what is the effect of it? The effect of it, it says, the just shall live by, oh, that's it. The just shall live by faith. Four times in the word of God, it is said, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Romans 1 and verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 and verse 11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10 and verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Now, God saying something once is enough to warrant your trust and absolute reliance on his word. Now, God is saying it four times. It means, listen, this is the way to live. The just shall live by faith. This is how we live in the blessing. Glory to God. Amen. And let me tell you something. Some people wonder sometimes, how come God will have to test your faith before the blessing starts working in your life? All right? He tested the faith of Adam. He failed. He tested the faith of Abraham. He passed the test. Number one, in Genesis 12, he tested his faith. Praise God. All right? Number two, you know, in his walk with God before Isaac was born. Number three, after the birth of Isaac, he still tested his faith. All right, this son that you love, I need him now. All right, go to the land of Moriah, one of the mountains there. Sacrifice him there for me. Praise God. And the Bible says, early in the morning, the following day, the next day, Abraham went out. He took some of his servants. He took Isaac. He took a knife. Amen. He took wood. Praise God. He saddled his ass and went on his journey. Now, hear what God said to Abraham. In Genesis 22, we start reading from verse 16. I want you to see something here, because this is a faith life. Faith, 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 faith. Faith, faith, obedience of faith. And God said, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Now listen very carefully to this. For because thou hast done this thing, all right, what thing did he do? Obeying God by bringing his son to that mountain as commanded by God. True? All right, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Look at verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Did you see that? Please don't be deceived. Don't let anybody tell you that obedience doesn't count in Christ. All right? You just you know, you're born again. I mean, just live your life. You don't grow to discover that you've wasted your seasons. Don't grow to discover that. Please. All right? There's what is called the obedience of faith. Or faith is stressed here because you hear and you are convinced in your heart. And then you act accordingly. That's what we're talking about. It's not trying to do something so you can show that you believe God. No, we don't do that. It's the obedience of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So as we walk in that, listen, look at it. God will begin to manifest himself in our lives in ways beyond what we can explain. There are dimensions of God in the blessing that are beyond explanation. Amen? I mean, terrific dimensions that you cry for joy. The person who is experiencing God, who is, you know, the recipient of the testimony, he's crying for joy. There are testimonies that you are sharing, all right? Maybe your wife or your son or a brother will have to come and finish it for you because you're sharing. You start crying. Amen? You start crying for joy. Not for disaster, but for joy. And you're experiencing that this season. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And at the point you come to the end of fleshly exertion and say, Lord, I trust you. Absolutely. That's the time the Almighty shows himself. I was asking myself, in Genesis 12, you didn't show yourself to Abraham as the Almighty God. Alright? But in Genesis 17, that name El Shaddai is the name of God by which he multiplies. He increases people. He told Moses, he said, by my name Jehovah, all right, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know me by that name Jehovah. Because the name Jehovah is God's covenant name. Amen? The God of the covenant. That was when he was about to establish a covenant with Israel. So he revealed himself to Moses as Jehovah. I am that I am. Praise God. But when dealing with Abraham, he actually wanted to multiply him. So he said, I am the Almighty God. Not some mighty God, but Almighty God. Now, if someone is almighty and you're coming into partnership with him, do you have to come with some might? Where are you going to get it from? He's almighty. What it means is this. You come into partnership with the Almighty God by surrendering to his almightiness. That's what you bring to the table. Submission. Faith. That's all I have. If you say I should stand up, I stand up. Run, I run. All right. Your word is everything to me. And God says, yeah. That's it. That's all I require. For no flesh shall glory in my presence. Now I will start multiplying you. Mysteriously. Mysteriously. See, God still works miracles. I'm telling you the truth. Please don't come to a point where you feel like, you know, it's just you have to plan and all that. Yeah, planning is important. You have to strategize. Yeah, strategizing is important. But God still works miracles. God still does wonders. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. God is not dispensational in character. God is not dispensational in power. God is almighty. That's who he is. So dispensations cannot change God. A life of absolute faith in God is the life that is required to activate the blessing. The blessing begins to work for you. Praise God. And this is very important. Very important. And this is where God is taking us. Amen. Have you noticed that the more you walk with God, all right, the more you learn to depend on him? Have you noticed that? This is how you can tell the difference between a babe and a mature believer. A babe still has some jim in himself, like, you know, and a mature believer, not because, you know, time has deadened his initiative or intelligence, but he has learnt by experience to trust in God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to know, just to say, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I have proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Praise God. It's a life of absolute trust in God. Absolute trust in God. Hallelujah. Absolute trust in God. Say amen to that. Amen. That is it. So let's break it down as we begin to close. Faith is a must to live in the blessing. Faith is a must to live in the blessing. Not just to have the blessing on you, all right? To live in the blessing. All right, God wants you to walk in the blessing, live in the blessing. You know, just recently, Lord began to speak to me and he said, son, I said, sir, he said, I want to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. That means think wild, just go gaga in your mind. All right, I want to bless you beyond that. Maybe you're thinking that, what if I own the whole of Lagos State? God says, I want to give you much more than that. What if I own the whole of New York? You know, I mean, just think anything in your mind. God says, I'll beat it. Why? Because, you see, the whole gospel is all about the blessing. The Bible says God preached the gospel to Abraham aforetime, that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All right? He preached the gospel to him. What did he preach to him? It's the gospel of blessing. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing. That's what the gospel is all about. Increase, multiplication, abundance. Abundance of health, abundance of prosperity, abundance of peace, abundance of wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Abundance, abundance, abundance. You know, one of the reasons God hates unbelief with a passion. Not because, you know, he just wants to, you know, show us that he's Almighty God, and so because you've disobeyed God, so he wants to. No, God hates unbelief with a passion because it limits God from being God in your life. I mean, God hates to be limited. I want to bless you. Didn't you get it? I said it and I'm saying it again. I want to bless you. Like, I want to show my blessing on your life that people will look at you. It's either of two things, all right? They go on their knees and worship God, or they get angry. Amen? When they see the blessing of God at work in your life, glory to God. Amen. I said amen. God wants to showcase his blessing, reveal his blessing on our lives. Saying, I will command my blessing upon you. Command. This is the commanded blessing. Glory to God. The commanded blessing. So break it down. Faith. Come on, say faith.
Faith.
I can't hear you. Say faith.
Faith.
Louder. I can't hear you. Say faith.
Faith.
Absolute dependence on God. Acting in line with that dependence. Doing things consistent with that dependence. That's what it's all about. Faith, faith, faith all the way. Faith all the way. Paul, speaking in Romans 1 and verse 16, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. All right, to those who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. He says, for in that gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Starting with faith, ending with faith. He's the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He authors it. He finishes it. He concludes it. He perfects it. Praise God. See, faith, 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 faith all the way. I say this, you know, that's why If any church, any pastor does not understand faith, watch out. You see, if you look in the body of Christ, the most prosperous and successful churches and pastors in the body of Christ are faith people. Because if you don't understand faith, you'll be under-utilizing, under-maximizing the blessing. Amen? Faith. Now, faith people, people who can believe God. You know, even mega churches are pastored by faith people. Faith. You can count faith in God. You cannot be someone, you know, who is given to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and not be a faith person to a degree. It's not possible. Because even the anointing of the Spirit of God works by faith. Everything works by faith. Faith is not the only subject in the Bible, but it's the most important. Yes. Why? Someone says, why is love that is the most important? No, not love. Because without faith itself, you can't walk in love. Walking in love is by faith. You have to believe God's word, because there are times your flesh wants to stand in your way and say, no, you can't forgive that person. You know what the person did to you? Ah, what kind of nonsense is that? But you have to say, I believe God's word. I'm walking by love. God has said to me, a new commandment have I given you, all right, that you should walk in love towards one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one towards another. Praise God. You have to believe that commandment and exercise yourself in faith, trusting God, then you can forgive. So you see, without faith itself, love cannot be activated. Of course, after love has been activated, then it now strengthens faith. Love energizes faith. But faith activates love. Gets love running. Amen? It's just like battery in a car. All right? To jumpstart the car, it will cause the car to start. You know, the kickstarter. Ta-boom! All right? It starts. And then his work is done. Then we see the alternator. We now is already running. We now start charging the battery. Praise God. That's how faith. Faith will cause love to start running. When love is running, love will now start charging faith. Did you see it? So, faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We have answers to prayers by faith. Glory to God. Amen. You know, we have victory in Christ by faith. Name it. There is nothing in Christianity, in Christ, that works without faith. So if there's anything we should understand more than other things in the Bible, is faith. Praise God. Is faith. So we can engage the other blessings and virtues that God has loaded us with in Christ. Because it takes faith to engage them. Say amen to that. Amen. Faith. Faith. So understanding the subject of faith is very important. And in understanding the subject of faith, we'll finish this on Sunday or next week. All right. But let me begin to tie this together now. Are you going home with something already? Okay, you have something to go home with. So, now, in understanding the subject of faith, we must understand one thing about God. Amen? The integrity of the Word of God. The integrity of the Word of God. I will stop here. But I want to refer you to the scripture we started with. All right? In Genesis chapter 1. And verse 28. And God blessed them. How? And God said unto them. So the blessing is actually words. Be fruitful. And multiply. And replenish the earth. And subdue it. And have dominion. Words are things. Whatever God would bless you with, He will put it in words. You must have good and solid appreciation for words. If you don't have appreciation for words, you're not a faith person. Faith people have appreciation for words. All right, God will speak your wife in words, your new level in words. You come to church, you're receiving words and you're receiving things. So the blessing is released by the spoken word. How did God, you know, command Aaron to bless the children of Israel under the law? Okay, he told Moses, says, say unto Aaron, this is how to bless the children of Israel. All right, he says, you say to them, now the Lord bless you and keep you. That's the blessing. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord himself be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. He says, and he shall put my name upon them, and I will bless them. So you come to church, we're dealing words. It's faith. Through faith we understand that the things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. They came by reason of the spoken word. Praise God. So we'll stop here for today. I know you've been blessed and you've been imparted. Your life will not be the same again. Rise up wherever you are. It's time to begin to pray. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands right now and thank God for the word. Can you get on the keyboard for me? Thank God for the word. The word has come to you. You are the seed of Abraham and you've learned how to walk in the blessing primarily. We're still going to dig deeper into it. But listen, faith is the way. Faith is the way. Faith is the way. Faith in God. Faith in his word. That's the way. Lift up your hands and thank God. And say, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your word that has come to me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Now begin to declare it. See, words. Start with words. Declare it. In the name of Jesus, I live by faith. Say it. In the name of Jesus, I walk by faith. In the name of Jesus, I'm enabled to walk by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and declare it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your loving kindness. Blessed be your holy name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift up your hands and receive a word of blessing. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. It is well with you in Jesus' name. God bless you.